and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to begin today right now at volume 19, 7, 11, 26. And Jesus says, "My little daughter Luisa, you yourself are saying how necessary knowledge is." Okay, so this is the one of the things. The knowledge of the divine will. See, the saints taught us to know, love, and serve God. Now we're to know, love, and possess God. See, this is the thing that's so beautiful about this gift. It's a mutual possession. See, God breathed into dirt so that he could give his image and likeness to dirt, to Adam. And now, since there's no other gods out there, and we are in his image and likeness, we're supposed to be in his image and likeness, through the Holy Church, through baptism, we are in God's image. And what the divine will does is it brings us to God's likeness, to do what God does. Okay? So what God has now done is he's breathed his image and likeness into this dirt, into this creature. This creature can now give back to God what is God's. See, God breathes, "I love you," and then we breathe back, "I love you." And then God says, "I love you." When we breathe in, and we go, "I love you." And it's a competition between man and God. So our life is to begin to live a life filled with love. With our heartbeat, "I love you, I praise you, I thank you." But not only that, because that's what the saints were trying to do, but now to do it in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So from the first man to the last man, whoever will live, for every heartbeat, "I love you, Jesus." So how many heartbeats do you have in a lifetime? Anybody know? And a doctor in the house? Okay. So you have all those heartbeats for every human that ever lived. How many breaths? For every human that ever lived. And not only that, Jesus says, not only for every human, but for everything. So I love you on every leaf on a tree. I love you for every blade of grass. I love you for every drop of water. It's, "I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you." We're given to God what is God's. What the saints have done is they give to God what is saintly, what is holy. Okay, so the saints lived holy lives, good lives. Jesus wants now us to have more than that. God wants us to live, as St. Peter tells us, and that's why, read the epistle to St. Peter. It's very clear. To be divinized, to have a divine life. This is what God wants. So why do we, see, as Catholics, we understand this. We go to Holy Mass, we receive Jesus of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? So that we can become like Christ. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, it is our opportunity to become more like Christ before we went to Mass than after. No, more like after than before. So the next day, you have more the next day than the day before. The next day, you have more than that day than the day here. So your life becomes greater and greater with Jesus reigning in us. So now Jesus has said, now is the time that I'm going to bring about sanctification. Okay? This is why the popes prayed for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of this Holy Spirit is going to affect the entire world. What is coming, Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What is coming is so magnificent that the devil is going to be thrown into the pit of hell. He can't stay here. What's coming is so beautiful. It's heaven to earth. This is the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And it's Luisa's job to bring this about. And Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with Luisa so that we can cooperate with her, what Jesus has, and Mary has breathed into her. So Jesus says, listen to this. "You yourself are saying how necessary knowledge is. If it is necessary for you, Luisa, how much more for the others who will read this?" So we have to learn a whole new way of living. Okay? It's not just to be good and holy and saintly anymore. He wants us to share in divinity. It's as you read this, as you study this, like I said, every word that you read, God is expands your capacity to understand more. So every word you read, so you have to promise Jesus. You don't promise me. You don't promise anybody else. Jesus, this is what I'll read every day. I promise you, I'll read 3 pages a day. I promise you, I'll read 5 pages a day. Whatever the Lord is showing you. And then you be faithful to Jesus. As you read, you'll come to a point where you won't understand something. And why? Because this is the language of heaven and you have to become fluent in it. You have to learn it. So you'll come to this point and you'll go, I don't know what this means. Now, people will become stick in the mud, stop and they go, I'm not going to go another place further until I understand what this is. And then they stop reading. What you do is you go, well, I've got a pea brain. I don't understand this, so I'll just continue. And you continue. And about the third or fourth page, you go, that's my answer. See, Louisa, at the end of her life, she said to Jesus, I am so sorry for all my questions. And Jesus said to Louisa, Louisa, you never questioned anything. You always said fiat. The questions were from those who will read the writings. I have given them the question to you, Louisa, so that I can answer you, Louisa, so that they will read the answer. So we tormented Louisa with our questions. She never questioned anything. As you read like somebody says to me, where does it say this? Where does it say that? How about this? How about that? I just say, read. God will answer your question. As you read the writings and you come to a point which you don't understand, you can underline it or question mark on it and you can talk to your priest about it. But I can guarantee you, if you read 3 or 4 pages further, the answer is there. God makes it very clear. He is such a good and loving God, but he wants to see who will continue. If there is a stumbling block, a lot of people say, well, I can't go any farther. And God goes, fine. See, with a question, well, that's what I've seen. People who question the divine will. See, there's two types of questions. Remember Zechariah. The angel came to Zechariah. St. Gabriel came to Zechariah and said, you'll be the father of John the Baptist. And he goes, yeah, sure. He says, you're mute. He made him mute for 9 months. The same angel came to the Blessed Mother and said, you'll be the mother of the Son of God. And she says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I don't know man. And the angel went to explain to her. So there's two types of questions. Yeah, sure, I don't believe this. Or, I really want to know this, show me how. So it depends on your attitude, is if the angel will mute you or the angel will explain more to you. It's very, very important that we don't get the angels upset with us. See, no angel is feminine. All angels are warriors. All angels are warriors, and they're out to destroy anything that is opposed to God. So when we sin, the first thing the angel wants to do is crush us like a bug. That's the very first thing the angel wants to do. But they also at that instant see the blood of Jesus on us. And they go, whoa, God died for these creatures. You know, so they back off. They wait. Don't get angels upset. Angels are very, very important. We have to get to know our angels. We have to get to communicate with especially our guardian angel. Don't name your guardian angel. That is a mistake that most people do. I've had people say, well, my angel's Betty. Well, your poor guardian angel. There's no guardian angel named Betty. And when you go, Betty, you know, your guardian angel is polishing his nails going, he doesn't know my name. When we say holy guardian angel, he's there in an instant. Holy guardian angel, please. And he's there. They will help you with anything. And going back to the command, you're going to see things that are going to astonish you. When you work with your holy angels, I remember one time it was a tornado or a hurricane or something. It was coming right at the house I was in. And I went, oh my God, we're doomed. And I went on the porch and I said, to talk to the holy angels. I said, you know, in the name of Jesus, under the mantle of the intercession of Louisa, I said, holy angels, stop this. And it was like somebody turned on a switch. It just stopped, and I went, whoa, what is going on? But that's happened numerous times. The angels are there at, see, we are children of God. The angels are servants of God. If you get to know your holy angels, they will work very powerfully for you. If you learn how to call in your angels, it doesn't matter how close you come to death, the angels are there to save you. I know that for a fact. And also wear your scapular. I broke my back twice. Each time I was not wearing my scapular. Okay, I know this protects me. And it will protect you too. Your holy angels, we have the sacraments, the sacramentals. We have our holy guardian angels to take care of us. Get to know them. Call upon them. And watch what they will do for you. I remember a couple of times flying when we were coming straight down. And then we went straight back up. And everybody was screaming on the plane. And this lady next to me says, "What does that mean?" And I said, "It means we're not going to land at this point." I mean, it's fiat. God is in charge. He has plans for you. And the devil wants to destroy you. And what you have to know is go to your holy angels. They are warriors. They will fight to the death for you. So get to know them. It's very, very important. So that's one knowledge that's important to know. But he says very clearly, you must know that in order to form the kingdom of redemption, those who distinguished themselves the most in suffering, he says, were my mother and I. So the two that suffered the most for redemption was Jesus and Mary. And even though apparently Our Lady suffered none of the pains that the other creatures knew, except for my death, which was known by all, which was the fatal and harrowing blow for Our Lady's maternal heart, more than any of this most sorrowful death. However, since Our Lady possessed the unity of the light of my divine will, see, that's what we're going to participate in, the unity of the light of the divine will. Again, Mary's clothed with the sun. Jesus is clothed with the sun at Tabor. Okay, this is the light. This is the life that God wants us to begin to live. He says, she possessed the unity of the light of my divine will. This light brought to Our Lady's pierced heart not only the seven sorrows told by the church, but all swords, all lances, all pricks of all sins, and all the pains of creatures, which martyred the Blessed Mother's heart in a harrowing way. But this is nothing. This divine light brought the Blessed Mother all my pains, all my humiliations, all my torments, all my thorns, all my nails, in the most intimate pains of her immaculate heart. The heart of my mother was the true son. Now remember, St. Padre Pio said, Luisa is a second son that's going to give light and life to the church and the world. So when you think of the sun setting in the west, another sun is coming up. Padre Pio said that the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta in the third millennium. Now, you get a high-powered telescope on a good rifle. You look 1,000 yards down. You're focused on one thing. Everything else is in existence. But the world and the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will. Why? Because of the light, the love, and the life of God is coming to the earth. Something glorious is happening. I mean, look at what Our Lady says at Medjugorje, what Our Lady says in Garabandal. It'll be the final and greatest miracle that God will give to mankind. Okay, the finest and greatest miracle. What is the finest? What is the greatest and final miracle that God is going to give to the world? What could it possibly be? Okay. It will be something that you can see but not touch. Okay, what could this be? Now, this miracle is so great that the Muslims will want to be Catholic. Every Muslim will say, Mohammed who? They'll say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. Every Jew, every Hindu, every Buddhist, every Protestant is going to say, I want to be Catholic. I want this universal life. What is coming that is going to be so beautiful that it's going to change the whole world? That's what God wants us to get ready for. What is there that you will see but cannot touch? Where is that in Scripture? When Jesus rose from the dead, Mary Magdalene went to embrace him and he says, "Do not touch me." So something's coming that has never been seen before. A man rose from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, rose from the dead. And he says to Mary Magdalene, "Do not touch me." What is coming is so magnificent. It is so beautiful. It is so holy that the whole world is going to be affected by it. What could it possibly be? I mean, what could it possibly... You have this really... And if that interests you, and it really interested me. Just sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and ask Jesus, "Tell me, Lord, what could be the most beautiful thing in the world? What could it possibly be?" And he'll show you. He'll really show you. So he says this: "The heart of my mother was the true sun. Though one can see nothing but light, this light contains all the goods, all the effects that the earth receives and possesses, so that one can say that the earth is enclosed in the sun." Now Jesus says, he calls Luisa a sun too. Padre Pio says she's the second sun. Something is coming that one can say that the earth is enclosed in this sun of Mary, S-U-N, of Mary, S-U-N, of Jesus. "The same for the Sovereign Queen. One could see only her person, but the light of my supreme will was enclosed in all of Mary with all imaginable pains. The most intimate and unknown of these pains were the most valuable, the most powerful. They were over the divine heart of God to impetrate for the longed-for Redeemer. More than the solar light, these rays descended into the hearts of all creatures to conquer them and bind them in the kingdom of the redemption." Now, what's coming is the kingdom of sanctification. This is even greater than the kingdom of redemption. Now, Jesus says, "Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water is an 'I love you' from God to us." And our response is to give all those 'I love you's' back to God. He says there are more 'I love you's' in redemption from Jesus and Mary. The blood, the sweat, the tears that Jesus and Mary. There's more 'I love you's' than all of creation in Jesus and Mary. And then he says sanctification is greater than creation and redemption combined. So there's going to be more 'I love you's' going to the throne of God in sanctification. Because, see, we're saying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, "I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you, I glorify you." In the name of everybody's heartbeat, everybody's breath, everybody's step, everybody's swallow, everybody's blink, everything that anybody could ever have possibly done, we're giving back to God an "I love you." It's an explosion of "I love you's" to the throne of God. This is driving Lucifer out. This is heaven on earth as you live in the divine will. As you begin to live in the divine will, the devil cannot be around you. Why? Because they see Jesus. They see Mary when you sit, when you sleep, when you dance, when you eat ice cream. They see Jesus and Mary and they flee from you. They can't be around you. See, what's coming, this is what the divine will, as we talk about healing all the time, the healing that's coming with this great gift of divine will, it's spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healings. God is going to heal us even of our human imperfections. That's why I said yesterday, look at the person next to you. That person next to you is going to be perfect. I mean, that's what's coming. Perfection. So when you think about what Our Lady says, the greatest and final miracle is going to be given to mankind that's going to convert everyone, every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant to Catholicism. What is coming? What is coming? I mean, the only one that's terrified is the devil. Because he has to leave. He can't stay here anymore. So our job is to call heaven on earth, and the first place where heaven has to be is in here. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. This is where it has to happen. You have to learn how to breathe in the divine will, to have your heart beat in the divine will, to call upon God with this I love you of God. That's why the rounds are so important. I'll give it to Father Jerry where you can get this. It's free. It's as you read this, as you pray this, as you enter into heaven, the devil cannot be around you anymore. He flees. And this is what's so amazing. So he says, okay, so the church, listen to this. So the church knows very little of the pains of my celestial mother. No one can say that it knows only, and one can say that it knows only the visible pains, and this is why it gives the number of the seven swords. But if they knew the Blessed Mother and knew her maternal heart was the refuge, was the deposit of all my pains, and that the light of my divine will brought everything to the Blessed Mother, sparing the Blessed Mother nothing, the church would not speak only of the seven swords, but millions upon millions of swords. More so, since they were intimate pains, therefore God alone knows the intensity of the sorrow of the Blessed Mother. This is why, by right, Our Lady was constituted Queen of Martyrs and Queen of all sorrows. Creatures can give a weight, a value to exterior pains, but they do not know enough of the interior ones to be able to give them the right price. Now, in order to form in my mother the first the kingdom of my divine will, and then that of redemption, so many pains were not necessary, because since Our Lady had no sin, the inheritance of her pains was not for her. Her inheritance was the kingdom of my divine will. But in order to give the kingdom and redemption to all creatures, Our Lady had to submit herself to so many pains, so that the fruits of the redemption were matured in the kingdom of my divine will, possessed by me and possessed by my mother. There is nothing beautiful, there is nothing good, there is nothing useful which does not come from my divine will. So think about this. The saints were doing the will of God. Now Jesus wants us to live in the will of God. To live in God's holy divine will is light years beyond what they gave to the saints. Now, again, I love the saints. But to have the gift of the divine will, you have to read. See, Adam was supposed to teach us this, and Adam fell. So Jesus comes as the new Adam, Mary comes as the new Eve, and they teach Louisa these writings, these truths, so that when Louisa put them on paper and we read them, we begin to live them. So it doesn't happen by magic. Some people have said, all you have to do is want the divine will and you possess it. That's a nice thought, but you have to understand what they are. I mean, you can give the keys to a three-year-old and say, drive downtown and pick me up a pack of cigarettes, but the kid is not going to know what to do. He's got to grow, he's got to mature, he's got to learn, then he realizes, I'm not going to pick you up a pack of cigarettes. So, it's the same thing with the gift of the divine will. We have to be matured. Okay, how are you matured? It's by reading. As you read these truths, as you put them into practice, your life gets in order. See, the one thing that is very clear is that we're a society of addictions. People are addicted to everything. And Jesus has to free us of our addictions. He has to free us of television, free us of internet, free us of, you know, I know this one lady, all she did was she read these novels, these books. She all day long she'd be reading, give me another book, give me another. And I would say, why don't you read Divine Will? And she goes, I haven't got time for that. She was addicted to novels. We have to be free of everything to be addicted to what God wants us to be addicted to. And that's His life. God's life wants to reign in us. So, again, that's where most people are going to spend their time in purgatory, being freed from their addictions. food is a terrible addiction. You have to go to purgatory to be freed. If you love chocolate, this is the wonderful thing about the divine will. If you love chocolate, you give it up. You never eat chocolate again. I'm serious. I will never eat chocolate in my human will ever again. I will only eat chocolate in the divine will. Jesus will eat in my eating. But see, Jesus won't overstuff himself. So whatever you love, give it up. I mean, if you love anything that is human, you got to be free of it. And most people are going to spend a long time in purgatory being freed of the things that they love on earth. So in the divine will, I will never go swimming in my human will ever again. But I will always swim in the divine will. Jesus, come swim in my swimming. I'll never drive in my human will anymore. Jesus, come drive in my driving. See, it's to be free of everything of the world. And Jesus will not overstuff himself. Jesus won't drive too fast. You know, it's amazing. You become free of what you want. Gimme. You're not a little kid anymore. You're an adult. You've matured. And you say, Lord, what do you want? And the Lord says, sit down and read with me. Let me read in your reading. Let me teach you these truths, the knowledge about this great gift of the divine will. This gift is so beautiful that as you read it, Jesus himself is speaking to you. He wants you to know what he knows. He's the new Adam. He wants you to know, like he's talking about his mother. He wants us to know about who the Blessed Mother is. She did not have seven swords of sorrow. She had millions of swords of sorrow. I mean, that truth, when you look at the Blessed Mother, you know how much she suffered. Because of us, because of me, because of you. And how what a great mom she's been to all of us. So Jesus says, now united to the Sovereign Queen came my holy humanity. Our Lady remained hidden in me. Our Lady remained hidden in my sorrows, hidden in my pains, and therefore little was known about the Blessed Mother. But as for my holy humanity, it was necessary that what I did, how much I suffered, how much I loved, be known. If nothing were known, I could not form the kingdom of redemption. The knowledge of my pains, the knowledge of my loves was a magnet, a spur, an incitement, a light to draw all souls to take the remedies, to take the goods that contained in my redemption. Knowing how much their sins and their salvation cost me is a chain that binds them to me and prevents new sins. That's why we don't sin. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I have a firm purpose of amendment not to sin again. Okay? You come to the same sin. I know what this does to Jesus. I do not want to sin. Lord, give me the grace. Mary, give me the grace. And God gives you the grace. If they had known nothing of my pains, of my death, not knowing how much their salvation cost me, no one would have a thought for loving me and saving his soul. See then how necessary it is to make known how much he or she who was formed within him or herself a universal good to give it to others has done and suffered. So it's necessary that we know what Our Lady went through. It's necessary to know what Jesus had done and suffered. Now, my daughter, just as it was necessary to make known to creatures who he, Jesus, was and Mary were, how much it cost them to form the kingdom of the redemption, so it is necessary, this is great, to make known Louisa, whom my paternal goodness has chosen. She is the first to form the kingdom of the supreme fiat within herself, and then to give start to its transmission to other souls who read this. Just as it was for redemption, which was formed between me and my celestial mother, first and then it became known to all creatures, so it will be for the supreme fiat. As we get to know who this one is, Louisa Picaretta, a whole new beginning happens for us. As we link ourselves to Louisa, we begin to possess it as well. Remember what Jesus said in volume 12. I think this is So amazing. He said in volume 12, I as God cannot live without you, Louisa. If God cannot live without Louisa, what does that say about us? Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she that God says, I can't live without you? And if this is true, and we read and we believe what Jesus is saying, can you imagine what God's going to do when we get to know who she is? Volume 19, 8:22, 19:26. After this, I was thinking to myself, how hard is the privation of my sweet Jesus? See, this is something that's very important. Louisa did not have an apparition, a vision, or a locution. This is for saints. It's not an apparition, it's not a vision, it's not a locution. She was in the beatific vision. This is what the church is going to show us. When she did not see Jesus, she says, I am dead. I have no life in me. I am living dead. Now, I've met visionaries, locutionists, and apparitions, people who have apparitions. And I asked them, what was Jesus and Mary like? Oh, it was so beautiful. It was so wonderful. How are you doing now? Oh, it's okay. It's not like Louisa. Louisa says, I have no life. Jesus was Louisa's life. And when she did not see him, she did not hear him, she said, I'm living dead. There's no life in me. This is what's going to happen to us as well. As we link ourselves to Louisa, Jesus becomes our everything. We cannot go a day without the Eucharist. We cannot go a day without praying the rosary. We want to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. We want to pray the rounds of creation, redemption, and sanctification. We enter into this life because it's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that Louisa possesses. So she says, how hard was the privation of my sweet Jesus? I feel the true death of the soul. It happens when the soul departs from the body. While it possesses the same members, they are empty of life. They are inerrant. They are without motion. They have no more value. She was living dead without Jesus. That's not an apparition. That's not a vision. That's not a locution. She says, so does my soul appear to me without Jesus. It possesses the same faculties, but they are empty of life. Once Jesus has departed, life, motion, warmth are all ended. This is why this pain is so harrowing and indescribable and cannot be compared to any other pain. Ah, the celestial mother, she goes, the Louisa's complaint. See, this is our complaining. And given to Louisa. And the celestial mother did not suffer this pain because her sanctity rendered her inseparable from Jesus, and therefore Mary was never without him. But as I was thinking of this, see, that's our question. Well, Mary didn't have this. Louisa may have had that, but not Mary. Jesus moved in my interior because that's where Jesus always is. He's always in the interior of Louisa and telling me, my daughter Louisa, you are wrong. The privation of me is not separation, but pain. You are right in saying that it is more than mortal, but this pain has the value not of separating, but of connecting with stronger and more stable bonds, the inseparable union with me. Not only this, but each time the soul is as though deprived of me, with no guilt on her part, I rise again for the soul to new divine life of knowledges, allowing myself to be comprehended more, with more love, loving the soul more, giving new graces to enrich the soul and to embellish her more. And the soul rises again to a new divine life, to new love and new divine beauty, because this is justice. Yet since the soul suffers mortal pains, that she be substituted with a new divine life. If it were not soul, I would let myself be surpassed by the love of a creature, which cannot be. So, as you read this, okay, as you go back to this, God is going to give you more. He cannot stop filling you with divine life. He cannot stop filling you to the brim of His divine light, divine love, divine life. Our God wants us to possess this. So, This is why I say, whenever you're worried, whenever you're fearful, whenever you're complaining, whenever you're negative, it's a sure sign that you're not reading. When you read, you're filled with life again. When you read, you're filled with love again. As you read, you're filled with heaven again. See, when you see the word, when Jesus uses the word new, think of God. So you go back over this. The soul rises again to God's divine life, to God's divine love, to God's divine beauty. This is what's new. It's not human. See, our God wants us to begin to share in divinity. Remember, the priest puts a drop of the water in the chalice every day, and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That's what God wants for us. He's tired of the way we're living. And he says very clearly, since you haven't come after me, he says this in the three appeals, since you haven't come after me, I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to wage war against mankind. But it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love, and you will not be able to push me away ever again. Do you see what God has planned? And then, so he says, it is not true that the sovereign queen never was without me, separated never, but without me, yes. But this did not prejudice the height of her divine sanctity. On the contrary, it increased it. How many times I left the Blessed Mother in the state of pure faith, because having to be the queen of sorrows, of the mother of all the living, Our Lady could not lack the most beautiful adornment, the most refulgent gem, which gave her the characteristic of queen of martyrs and sovereign mother of all sorrows. That's one of the things. When you go to Corrado, in the church, Our Lady of the Greca Church, as you walk in to the left, there's a statue of Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, Mother of All Sorrows. It's important that we know what the Blessed Mother went through. She went through, and again, the reason she went through all the sorrows is because of our life, the way we've lived. This pain of being pushed in pure faith prepared Mary to receive the deposits of my doctrines, the treasures of the sacraments, and the good of all my redemption. In fact, since the privation of me is the greatest pain, it places the soul in the condition of deserving to be the depository of the greatest gifts of her God, of his highest knowledges, of his divine secrets. How many times I have not done this with you? After the privation of me, I, Jesus, would manifest to you the highest knowledges of my divine will. With this, I would make you, Luisa, the depository, not only of its knowledges, but of my divine will itself. Moreover, the sovereign queen, as mother, had to possess all of the interior states, therefore also the state of pure faith, to be able to give to her children that unshakable faith that makes one lay down one's blood and life to defend and prove this faith. So here, God is going to give, this is going to be great, God is going to give us the state of pure faith, this unshakable faith, that we will be able to lay down our life's blood and to defend and prove this faith. What's coming? I mean, see, how do you begin this? How do you begin this faith? It's by keeping holy the Sabbath. It's not a day of sports anymore. It's not a day of entertainment anymore. It's keep holy the Sabbath. As Catholics, this is the most important thing. As we keep holy the Sabbath, going to church, making that day God's day, a whole new beginning will happen for you. When somebody in your family says, well, I'm going to get married, I'm going to marry outside of the church, you're coming to my wedding, we're going to say, no, can't. I'm not going to approve you going to hell. I mean, it's to stand your ground. I mean, to stand your ground as a Catholic. When somebody's living together and they say, come on over for a party. Sorry, can't make it. I'm not going to go and justify you living together. It's not that you hate them. It's not that you're better than them. You're being a Catholic. You're speaking the truth. Well, the people are going to have a baby. They're not married, but they're having a shower. Are you going to have the shower? No. When they're married, we'll celebrate. When the baby's baptized, we'll celebrate. You know, it's very, very important that we be Catholic and stop selling our faith to make it like everybody else's. We're going to get married in the forest. You're coming? Nope, can't. The Catholic life is so important that this is what Jesus says. As you begin to have this pure faith, this unshakable faith, you'll be able to lay down one's blood and life to defend and prove this faith. See, everyone's going to be Catholic. Everybody's going to possess this universal life. And I'm not judging anybody. But for me to go to someone who is living in sin is saying to that person, "You go, if you drop dead today, I'm here to support you in your journey to hell." See, it's we have to be Catholic, and if somebody said, "Well, you're judging me." No, if you paint a house red, it's a red house. I'm not judging. It's there. It's plain and simple. And I'm not better than anybody else. I'm a sinner. I go to confession each week. But I know what the church says, and I have to be a faithful and obedient Catholic. And you will be hated, you'll be despised, you'll be ridiculed, you'll be mocked, you'll be persecuted for being Catholic. So be it. It's very, very important that we, as Jesus says here, having this state of pure faith, this unshakable faith, you'll be able to lay down one's blood and life to defend and to prove this faith. So Jesus says, had Our Lady not possessed this gift of faith, how could Our Lady give it to her children? My daughter, one who is called to be the head of a mission must not only embrace all the members, but rule them, dominate them, constituting himself life of each one of them. While the members do not give life to the head, nor do they do all that it does, but rather each one does his own office. In the same way, the one who is called to be head of a mission embraces all that is needed in order to carry out the entrusted task to him, suffering more than anyone and loving everyone. Therefore, prepares the food, the life, the lessons, the offices, according to the capacity of those who want to follow this mission. So, it's very important that we love one another. But don't compromise your faith. You can't compromise your faith. It's what Jesus died for. It's what Mary suffered for. It's what they brought to the earth, this Catholic life. And therefore, to not be faithful to it is to cheat them. So he says, that which is necessary for you, Louisa, must form the tree with all its fullnesses of the branches, and multiplicity of its fruits will not be necessary for the one who must only be a branch or a fruit. Their task will to be remain incorporated in the tree in order to receive the vital humors it contains, that is, to let themselves be dominated by my divine will. Never giving life to their own will in all things, both interior and exteriorly, but to know only my divine will and to receive it as their own life so as to let it carry out its divine life in them, in some, to let it reign and dominate as queen of their life. So Louisa has done everything. Now, what Jesus tells Louisa is this, to get a clue. He says, the saints were the flowers on the tree. He says, the children of the divine will are the fruit. And he says, what's the difference between the fruit and the flowers? The fruit has seed to make new trees. See, we're going to do what God does. The saints are beautiful flowers. God is going to give more to the earth than ever before. So I think we'll stop there. So again, God has got great plans. All he's asking of us is that we get to know Louisa and this great gift of the divine will by reading, by studying. Now, what's really interesting, the divine will is in Italian, Spanish, and English. And some of them are not the best translations. That's why the Archbishop says he doesn't want anything published. because he doesn't know who's translating them. Okay, the ones that we have are done by a woman who studied at Harvard. She lived in Puglia. And when she says when she read the Italian, she heard her grandmother speaking to her. She could hear that voice, that dialect, and she knew it. So when we were in EWTN, the Vicar General told us that these were the best to read in English. I don't know about Spanish. I know that there are some Spanish writings out there. I know the Italian is Italian, so that's pretty good. But when the official translations come out, that's what's going to be astonishing. Because the whole world is going to be transformed. These words will bring divine light, divine life, and divine love to the world. And as you read it, we're becoming transformed. That's what God has planned. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at that, right on time.